This is MCI. I have a collect call from
Chicago.
An inmate at Auburn Correctional Facility, a New York State correctional facility.
The following is an interview with Chacon, a prisoner at Auburn Penitentiary in Auburn, New York, a maximum penitentiary that holds over 1,800 prisoners. Recently, media sources reported on a lockdown that took place at Auburn Penitentiary, which began on June 14, 2003, and was lifted on June 22. Mass media received all their information about the lockdown and the incident leading up to it from prison authorities, who stated that a group of prisoners approached a few officers in the exercise yard and began hitting them. Prisoner Chacon will explain that for some time leading up to the June 14th incident, some guards at the penitentiary had been planting weapons in various prisoner cells. The cells were then searched, and the prisoners in these cells were thrown into segregation, the box, and subsequently found guilty of possessing weapons. The planting of these weapons by guards had been going on in Auburn since the end of May. Prisoners became aware of which guards were responsible for these illegal activities. Chacon also explains how the incident in the yard actually unfolded.
It started the beginning of June, the very, very beginning. Maybe a little end of May, around like the 25th or so. They started by planting weapons in individual cells and saying that they were there and taking these guys to the box, you know, and other prisoners was fed up with that and, you know, begin to ask higher up officers why, like lieutenants, captains, when they see them, yo, why is this going on? And, you know, we're not giving off any problems or agitations. Why is this going on when, you know, even if an officer has a personal problem with someone, that's not the route. You know what I mean? They have methods and to do what they have to do or what they feel they have to do, but that's not one of them. You know what I mean? And that right there causes for a prisoner to have to stay in prison longer because they give out consecutive new sentences for this. You go back to court and everything for that. You know, so it's like a process. It's like a way to keep people in prison. You know, so that was the starter, and a few prisoners got together and collectively approached a lieutenant on the issue about, you know, certain officers being involved in this little setup thing, and, you know, they voiced their opinions, and things got out of control because while they were speaking to the lieutenant, other officers came and began pushing and shoving the prisoners that were speaking. You know, when they push, prisoners push back. And they made it into a real big thing, a big ordeal, saying the security, and they started locking the jail now consecutively, a week at a time. They would open it back up, you know, to feed the prisoners, and then shut it back down when they feel that they can provoke another prisoner. I've seen it.
Chacon speaks of an incident with a guard that happened on the day before this interview, on June 24th, 2003.
In fact, yesterday, coming back from the yard, the guy came back and the officer pulled him to the side out of the whole bunch and waited till everyone continuously went in. And next thing you know, this guy is screaming. They're beating him, like five of them. He got handcuffs on him. When you put handcuffs on a prisoner, why are you still beating him? He can't be resisting because he has handcuffs on him behind his back. So what is this, some type of torture method by hitting him in his face and in his the day before that, which had been what's that, June 24th, I believe. Another guy, they called him and told him he was next. And, they came and got him. He was screaming. He's in his cell. You hear him screaming. So that right there makes, honestly, a lot of prisoners, the inside become on a real defensive side, because they don't know whether these officers are going to attack them. So they have to stand and protect themselves, I feel. I know I'm not going to allow them just to beat me up without trying to protect myself the best way I know how, even if I'm in a no-win situation. These are the things that's going on here in Auburn and other facilities. It's really hard to cope with. I mean, I don't see anybody coping with that. Three shots were fired in the yard on the Saturday, which was June 14th, the day before Father's Day. And that's the day they really, really locked it down and took it all out. They started searching everything and taking dudes were just mysteriously leaving on, you don't see them no more. A lot of guys here that's gone now. You don't even know what happened to them. A brother's up in the box right now, and fortunately, like when we go to the yard, he's able to call out the window, and we can hear him in the yard. He's telling us he's been up there now for 7 days. They haven't fed him anything. He has no water in his cell. And these inhumane ways, a man can't live like that. It's a constant thing. The officers are moving around in packs, literally, 3, 5 at a time, to pull one prisoner over to search him or take him inside where he can't be observed by other prisoners, take him inside, and supposedly searching him, and he may come back out, beat up, taking him across to the box, because they have to walk across the yard to the box. He may come back out, beat up, going to the box. I mean, it's really, really becoming crazy, really crazy. The weapon setting, planting weapons, it really bothers me because I was a victim of that. It happened to me before. And I know that when they do that, criminal procedures come after that. So a guy can be, possibly, have a chance to get ready to go home, and this is planted on him, and he has to go to court to defend himself, which, it's like a no-win situation because you're already in prison, and they're saying you're promoting prison contraband by having a weapon, and they give you additional time.
Chacon explains how prisoners are put into segregation, also known as the box, as soon as contraband or weapons are found in their cells. Since the recent cases of weapons found in the cells at Auburn Penitentiary, which were planted by the guards, one can understand why some prisoners became very frustrated over this overt illegal activity committed by those in authority.
From the time that the weapon or any incident takes place, you go straight to the box or you get locked in. You can't come out. Now, a ticket, an infraction, misbehavior report, whichever one is wished to be called, comes probably the next day. And the day after that or so, assistants come. And within the next, they have 7 days to start the hearing. If it's a tier two, they have different tiers in these misbehavior reports. A tier two is like a misdemeanor, and a tier three is like a felony. You understand? So, they got 7 days to come and start your hearing on a tier two, but the tier three is the most effective. Those are the ones that send you to the box prior. So, I'm going to speak about those. They have 14 days to start them. So, you can sit in the box for 14 days before they even take you to your hearing. take you to your hearing, you know, you have, you're able to call witnesses, the witnesses being the officers or a few prisoners. And 20 times out of 10, they'll let you know that they feel that your witnesses are coming on your behalf, giving statements that's contrived already. So, you know, they're going to believe, 20 out of 10, they believe what the officer tells them, you know? So, you're found guilty. If you're found guilty, anywhere from 90 days, 2 years, or whatever, incident that happened with, that they claim was an uprising in the yard. Same brother that's telling us, calling us from the window, that's telling us that, he has no water and they're not feeding him. He has 7.5 years in lockdown now. You know, tier threes, you're out of here. You're going straight to the box. There's no returning to the same facility most of the time. An officer does the hearing. An officer writes the ticket, an officer does the hearing. Not the same officer, but, you know, they eat lunch together. You know what I mean? So it's like you're in a no-win situation regardless. It's very rare that someone beats these hearings. These hearings are one-sided, very unjust. So, you know, it's a continuous thing. And they take $5 out of your account for each one that you get and you're found guilty of. This is another reason why they're set up for you to be found guilty, because they get $5 from you. So they don't want to lose the $5. And it's like it's in the officer's head, officers around the facility, you know, the more tickets we write, the more money we can get from these guys. You understand? So that's a big factor to me that I see too, you know, because they constantly write tickets. It can be for small stuff or it can be for big stuff. It's like the $5 is really... it's really like a push for them, you know? I don't know if they use the $5 for their union or whatever, because I don't see where the $5 goes for anything for, you know, prison population or anything of that nature. So the $5 seems like it's going in their pocket, I guess. I don't really know about that. But, you know, it's crazy. It's really crazy.
Chacon explains the different jobs at the prison and how much money prisoners get paid. His explanation puts into perspective what a $5 fine means to prisoners financially.
Say, for instance, we have a lot of different jobs here that they give to keep the facility running. You know, they have an industry here. The industry here is license plates. New York City, New York State's license. And those license plates are made by prisoners, and those prisoners may get 25 cents an hour. Or, you know, up from 25 cents to 45 cents an hour to make the license plate for New York State. They also make desks and things for office buildings, corporate America. They make desks for those. They get 15 cents, 20 cents, things like that, an hour. And, you know, $5 is a lot up against them wages. You know, these are jobs that if one would have in society, they would be getting paid, you know, probably $30 an hour. You know, so in my eyes, it's modern day slavery due to this fact. And it's like, you know, they'll put you down for overtime to work. If you wish not to work, you'll get locked up and get a ticket for that. Something they call mandatory overtime. You know? So it's like you have no choice in the matter of working. If you refuse to even take a program, which is what they call it, you'll get locked up for that. It's like it's mandatory for you to work in prison. The mess hall, for instance. Got guys down in the mess hall that work. The lowest pay in the mess hall is about 12 cents an hour. From 12 cents an hour to 16, from 16 to 25 cents an hour. And that's the highest you're going to go. You know, they expect this is like, they expect this to be a big thing, that pay. Those is peanuts, nothing. Those are really nothing at all. And they have the nerve to take $5 from you for that, for a ticket. They take money out of your account for any and every little thing that they possibly can take it for. Books. If you go to the library and get a book, you got a late fee for bringing the book back. It's everything, it's money with this thing here. Everything is like they wish to take, and they take it right out of your account. So it's no argument, you arguing about it, anything. When you look at your account again, it's automatically gone. To me, it's like a big money thing, and slavery is still in effect in prison.
Chacon speaks of how the media reported on the lockdown at Auburn Penitentiary, which began on June 14th.
When the incident took place on June 14th, the next day they had a news interview with, I guess, the facility here. The facility claimed that two gangs were trying to take over the facility, and they attacked the officers. I mean, that's not the truth in no shape, form, or fashion. Prior to this interview, before the incident took place, the deputy security here was asked in a news article, was there any gangs in Auburn? Says no. So, you know, he lied and was made look of a fool when he turned back around and said two gangs tried to take over the facility. He says, they said eight officers were badly hurt. More prisoners was hurt than anything because these officers walk around with oak sticks. These prisoners had nothing. They had nothing. The only thing they can do was try their best to protect themselves or, you know, cover their heads from being bust open. The media tries, they make sure to make society feel that prisoners are animals, when I believe in my heart it's the other way around, because I sit here and I look at it and I see it. I'm a product of it. I witness it. You know, it's even been done to me, you know. Just recently, 2 days ago, an officer came to me and told me I was next, you know, and just because of the color of my cell, you know, my sheets or my towels, they're red. And by them being that color, you're automatically labeled a gang member. I mean, you know, I don't have time for that. I'm trying to come home. So, you know, he feels that I'm that. And he's constantly pushing a lot of buttons with me. And I tend to ignore it and go about it the right way. You know, I've wrote the officer up, and now he's become more aggressive. So, I'm not, like I said before, I'm not going to allow them to hurt me in any type of way. I'm going to protect myself in any shape, form, or fashion I have to, you know. And if he puts his hands on me in any type of form or fashion, I will protect myself. They have a real bad problem with putting their hands on prisoners as if they're dealing with children and not grown men, or if they're dealing with people they see as being inferior to them, way under them. The way they speak is as such. Like, you're stripped of all your humanness as much as you can, as much as they can do to you. You know, a man is not gonna go for that or feel that. He's gonna step up. Any man that has pride inside is not gonna allow anyone to speak to him in a disrespectful manner, because you can't speak to them disrespectful. They have a charge here that they write in misbehavior reports about abusive language, but constantly you're cursed at and talked to as you would, as somebody would talk to an animal or a dog. Like I said, it's a big injustice and a real lopsided justice here. Just because you're in prison, do not make you an animal. Does it make you an animal? You know, like myself, I'm a product of drugs, the war on drugs. You know, and I'm still, it's no discrimination. You're a prisoner, you're in prison, you'll get talked to and treated as an animal. Bottom line, this is the attitude that is instilled in these officers in the academy. You know, keep them down. They're animals. I don't see that. And I'm not going to allow them to speak to me or treat me as such as much as I can. This is why I stay in the box, because I don't allow that. I'm not going to allow them to strip me totally of my belief and what I feel. I refuse to. And they hate rebellion.